When the melody's been written and the words have all been picked, and you hear the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn, in the valley of decision, tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices, eternity has two. This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads, and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices, eternity has two.
They're stripped and they're all released to life, and the Broadway down below.
What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain, our days on earth are few. This life has many choices, eternity has two. This life has many choices, eternity has two.
I want the YouTube to see that too. Maybe they'll cancel us. Smoke. Is that the right mask for smoke? That's when you go into a building that's smoking. Yes, it is. Painting, same thing. Good idea for the mask. Mining, yep, they got a pretty good mess there. Pesticides. Pesticides is spraying for Roundup. Any of those, that's herbicides, pesticides. That's the good mask. I have something similar. For radioactivity, any way or form, I wouldn't want to wear a mask or be anywhere near radioactivity. So I don't know whether the mask is good or not. The deadliest virus in history, is that mask sufficient? Come on, let's use our common sense. Is that mask sufficient? I tried to spray herbicides with that mask, like a Par 3, doesn't work at all. You actually get sick because I don't know what happens. But that's what they're trying to tell us. This mask is going to keep out the deadliest virus on earth. I think they're lying to us. You think they're lying to us? I have a good idea that those people are lying to us, because this so-called virus is with the particles are way smaller than that mask would be able to stop. You'd have to wear a rubber mask to even filter it out, and even then it wouldn't work, because viruses are all over. We got about 500 million viruses and my immune system seems to be adequate to get rid of them. I know people die from it, but do that many people die that they say? The CDC has put out a very interesting information lately. In America, only barely 10,000 people died of the virus by itself. They were saying, what was it, 500,000? But when they bring the real numbers in, where only the virus killed people, it's not even 10,000. And you know what? CNN was caught telling the world that they were inflating numbers because it was good for television. I think those people need to be put into jail, and maybe the firing squad. I don't know anything about that. Anyway, let's get on to church. So, God is a good God. He is letting us know before these people can destroy us. We don't have to be afraid. God is going to take care of it like he does with all things. So you can now focus the camera back on me again, Tom. Hallelujah. How many of you were here last week? Most of you, there's some missing. I guess they're afraid of the new regulations that we have. But it's supposed to be 50 in church again. I don't know how long that lockdown will be till people start to protest. But the Bible teaches us that we are gods. It's in the Bible. I'm going to continue from last week. It's in the Bible. I know that Psalm chapter 83 clearly explains that we're gods, but we shall die like men. What on earth is God talking about? And what I believe he's telling us is that we have a responsibility, a big responsibility for this earth. He has given us the total, like he said, you guys, you people, I will give this earth unto you, the sons, the children of men. And what has men done throughout history? Because of their fallen nature, instead of taking care of this planet, they have basically destroyed it through greed and through Satan coming in and influencing them. So God, at the cross of Calvary, brought us back into good standing with him. We are created in his own image. We have been given the responsibility to keep back the evil. We are the ones that are in charge. There is a scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. What are those wicked ways? Is it only talking about I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't watch pornography? No, that's your reasonable service. You should stay away from that. But the wicked ways that men have, especially Christians, are shrinking from their duty of taking responsibility. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, and then I would forgive their sin and heal their land. So it's on the Christian. It's not on the prostitute. It's not on the homosexual. It's not on those who are sinning. It's on the Christian. God has given us the responsibility. It would be easy to sit back and say, whatever happens, happens. It's the will of God. God is sovereign, and he will surely bring to pass what he wants to. If God wants all those babies to be butchered in the womb, they would be butchered, but that's not his will. If anybody says that's his will, he doesn't hear from God. God is willing that none perish. We'll all get into the kingdom? Not at all. Why? Because men have choice. People have choices. We have been given a choice to serve God, to turn to Him, or to reject Him. It is up to us. We have been made an individual. We have been given the ability to think. We have been given the ability to invent. We have been given the ability to procreate. So that makes us kind of like a little God. And this message will bring it into clarity. Are we the big I am? John chapter 8 in verse 58. Put that one up. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's Jesus talking. Are we the I am? I don't believe we are. Hallelujah. And Scripture will prove that. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Ghost will open our hearts and our minds to the truth of what you're trying to convey to us. We ask you to anoint this message. Bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is God and He is Lord. But who? Look at that scripture up there. Jesus said before, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That means the I am is Jehovah. I am the creator. I was before anything. I always existed. I am the great I am. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But this message today will give us something to think about. But we have to keep things in perspective, because it is very important that we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 17, let's settle this one. In John chapter 17 in verse 5, and now, O Father, in Psalm chapter 83 in verse 18, put that one up, right. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, are the most high over all the earth. So that scripture says it. Jehovah God is the most high over all the earth. He is the supreme God. Nobody can take His office. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. What happened to him? He was thrown down. So we have to respect the office of God. There are preachers out there who don't quite see it that way. Some want to say, well, we're not even close to it. Oh, we're pretty close. But some go the other way. They claim to be the I am, or very I am. I don't quite agree with that either. I don't think that's right. I know that's not right. So the supreme Jehovah God, He is the most high over all the earth. And Satan, if you're listening into this service, you had better lift your ear. You are not God, like so many claim you are. You are a defeated foe. You're going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire, where you're going to be tormented forever and forever. Listen up, all you demons. You get the same medicine. God, the Creator, has decreed it. Hallelujah. And I agree with it. How many here agree with that? I do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In John chapter 17 in verse 5, listen to this one. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. What is Jesus saying? I remember the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus remembered it. He knew that he was before the foundation of the world was. Jesus had a good memory. I want to ask any of you here and me, do I remember being there before the creation of the world? No, I do not. Anybody here remembers? He was there before the creation of the world? None of you? I don't think so. But Jesus, he knew, he understood, he was aware that he was before the creation of the earth. So I did not. I started to become aware of myself a little after I was born, maybe 2 years, maybe a half a year. I became aware of myself. My memory goes back to when I was about 3 years old or 2 years old. And when you look at a baby, it is aware of itself as soon as it's born. And science so shows that babies are aware of themselves in the womb. When you watch those abortion films, you can see the baby trying to dodge the instruments that are trying to kill it. Very clearly, you see the pictures. So the baby is aware of it. When a mother sings a certain song while she's pregnant to her child, after the child is born, the baby, when it's crying and she starts singing that song, will instantly calm down. They have proven that over and over again. So the baby is aware in the womb, and it is aware out of the womb. And as it grows, it becomes more and more aware. But I am not aware that I was before the world was made, before the foundations of the world. I don't remember it at all. But something interesting. The Bible teaches me that I come from where? The breath of God. So I did exist in God before the foundation of the world. I was part of him because his breath has created me. Has anybody ever thought of that? Even though I'm not aware, I was in him. His breath has always been in him, and he breathed it into me and made me an individual, even though I am not aware of existing before the foundation of the earth. Still, the Bible teaches that I existed with God before the foundation of the earth. That is interesting to study, to read, and to think about. We are not aware, we were not aware of it, but I want to assure you of something. We will be aware of ourselves for the rest of eternity. Death, this physical death, is not even going to be a stop sign. We're just going to whisk through there and be aware of who we are and how we are once we pass from this life. John chapter 17, it gets more interesting as the Bible teaches who we are. John chapter 17 and verse 24, put it up there. Father, I will that they also, which thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Another scripture that teaches about the glory of God he had before the foundation of the world, the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus is an incredible person. If you study him, when his heart is so open, his heart reaches out to the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves his creation. The reason we're here is because he loves us. He created us for his pleasure. He enjoys being with us. If you understand that as a Christian, you will not be depressed very often if you know that Jesus loves to be with you. Do you spend time with him? I do. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I shout, sometimes I get angry because of the way people treat him or operate. But still, he's there, he's personal. He has become part of me. I have become part of him. We are in him. Very interesting when you study these things. This is what I say. Study the Bible and you'll find out after a while that you're really born again. You're going to heaven, and no demon in hell can tell you otherwise, because they know that you're going to heaven. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus, listen to this, Mary Magdalene. I love that girl because she was really brought down by demons. So Jesus cast them out, and she loved him with a pure love, and Jesus loved her. So Mary Magdalene was the first one to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. I love that, because there are many, many preachers who claim that women, they should sit in the back, don't ask questions, don't even talk about Jesus. Do nothing. You're just there to listen. No. She was the first one to proclaim the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I love that. So she's there. And guess what? Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. I guess Jesus had to go up there and whatever they had to do. I don't know yet, but I'll find out. But go to my brethren. Listen to this. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus all of a sudden decides or says, I'm your brother. We are one. We're together one. He's my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Can we imagine that? Can we comprehend that? The Jews wanted to stone Jesus because he said God was his Father. So what would they do to me now or to you if you would say, I'm Jesus' brother and I am a child of God? It makes me one with him according to what the Jews were saying. So here we are, your Father and my Father, your God and my God. Jesus basically puts himself down to our level. I cannot comprehend that. He is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He elevates us up to where he is. That is very interesting. He couldn't come down to where we are because that would be out of the question. So he has to elevate us up to where he is. Can we understand that? It's in Scripture. He is my God, my Father, your Father. So we have to understand this. We have to start seeing the responsibility of this. In John chapter 20, in verse 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I sent you. Listen to this. Jesus had a purpose here on earth. What was this? To make us part of the family of God, to die for our sins, to take our sins upon himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the what? The righteousness of God in him. We have become righteous through him, not by what we did, but what he did. Then he said this, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Remember, that's after the resurrection. He's talking to his disciples. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And to whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. There are some religious organizations that take this thing totally out of character and context. I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm wondering if they have everything in their minds. No, they don't. They don't understand. So what does God say here? He has given us the responsibility to forgive people their sin. How do you do that? You tell them about Jesus. He's the one that forgives sins. You have to lead them to that. And if you do not, you have the choice not to do it. This is why God has given us this responsibility. He said to us, you go into all the world, preach the gospel. That is helping people to get rid of their sin. If you don't do it, how will they do? How will they hear? The Bible teaches how sweet are the feet of them that bring the gospel to people. And then he says, go cast out devils. We as the church have neglected that for a long time. The average person doesn't even know people have devils, except when you're in Africa. I was talking to an African lady about 4 weeks ago, and she comes from the Rwandan genocide. Very interesting lady. We had her here once to give her testimony. And she told me, you know what happened when I came to Canada? I found out that all the demon names in Africa have interesting medical names here. It took me a second to catch it. And I realized what she was saying. The demons she knew in Africa have medical names here. So the same demons that are in Africa are here. They only come under a different name called dementia. Different names. I could give them to you. Some of you might not agree. There's one called cancer. There's one called depression. There's one called anxiety. There's a lot of them. I could write you a whole list. They're demons. They're out to steal, kill, and to destroy. If you cast a demon out of a person, it doesn't take long. The person has the power to change around. I remember casting a few devils out of a young child. And that child, his attitude changed around drastically. Very interesting to watch when you see and believe and understand what God is trying to show you. He said, cast out devil, heal the sick. I believe far too many people still have to go to the doctor. We should be able to heal the sick. Because Jesus said, greater works will you do than I did because I go on to the Father. What works did he do? He healed the sick. Now we go to the doctors, and guess what they do? They slowly kill you in most places. So what do? We need to listen to God. We need to take the responsibility that the doctors have. Take it upon ourselves and seek his face for healing. I say this, take communion. How do I take communion? Do you call for a preacher to do it? No, you can do it by yourself. If you are a Christian, you're a priest and you're a king here on this earth. A priest gives communion, so you can have communion every night. You can do it with yourself, with your family, and God will look at it with pleasure. He's not going to hold a sharp stick. Oh, you need a preacher with a long robe, with a long coat on there. No, that's what religion teaches. We are priests and kings here in God's stead, and we need to take that responsibility. So, are we preaching the gospel? Are we casting out devils? Are we healing the sick? We seem to have neglected that responsibility for quite some time. And I believe it's time we started seeing that responsibility. If we don't, there's something I have to warn you about. There's the judgment seat of Christ. We will not be judged for our sins at the judgment seat of Christ. They were taken care of at the cross. But we will be judged for neglecting our responsibility. That's what it'll be all about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now I've heard many, there are not many, but I've heard people say that as in Adam all were made sinners, so in Christ everyone shall be made a Christian. Everybody's going to heaven. Friends of mine have that strange belief. Everybody's going to heaven. Hitler, whoever, Judas Iscariot, whoever was, they're all going to heaven. No, they take this scripture out of context. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Do you see, they stop reading there. Because if they would read one more sentence, it would make sense to them. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, they that are in, that are Christ that is coming, they that belong to Christ, they that have become born again by the Spirit of God, they that know Jesus as their personal Savior, they are made alive, and they will become part of the kingdom. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So the day comes, and we're now fast approaching that day, when Jesus is going to put all the enemies down. They have no choice but to submit. The Bible teaches us there's coming a day when all will say Jesus is Lord, not that he is Lord to them, but that he's Lord over all, and that's it. He will have dominion, and no devil in hell will deny him that, because they cannot. They're fallen. They're not God supreme. God is going to be the ruler over everything. All enemies will be put under the feet of Jesus. But what is most intriguing to me are the next scriptures that we're going to study here. And it gives you something to think about. Jesus brings us up to his level. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. I in him as you are in me. We are in one, all of us. We're together with God. We've become a family. We are the center of the universe, basically. We're the bride of Christ. What does a bride do with her bridegroom? They become one. They have the same authority, but there is order in that authority. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Personally, I think for the Christian, death is also already defeated. If you're afraid of dying, then you need to talk to Jesus about it. Because dying is basically a fast ticket into the glories of heaven. Hallelujah. For the Christian. But for the unbeliever, it's a fast ticket into hell. And that's not a very good place. Last time I read. So, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Jesus is the accepted one. He won that battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. He won it. He persevered. He cried out, "Oh Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then he persevered, and he was the one that has the power now. He is expected that put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son, listen to this, then shall the Son also himself be subjected unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So there is order. Even Jesus put himself under God's authority, as far as this is teaching us here. So there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus puts himself under the authority of God. Remember when Jesus was here, he said, I do nothing except the Father tells me to. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. I do not quite understand it. One of these days when I'll get there, if we have church up there, I'll be able to explain it to you. And it's going to be awesome, because we're all going to be believers then in what I'll be preaching. You will not doubt one word, because the glory of God is going to be upon me so strong that you will not be able to resist but believe what I'm saying. But as for now, my brain is a little inadequate to understand what this means. First the Father, Jesus, then us. But we're all in one. So God is supreme. He's over everything. And Jesus is in God. The Holy Spirit is in God. And we are in Jesus. So he makes us one in him. Can we accept that? Can we believe it? I try to believe it very hard. But for me, sometimes when I look at it, I say, Lord, help me in my unbelief, because this is far too big for my intellect to understand. So let the Lord open your heart to this, because Jesus wants us to be at peace. He wants us to have the hope in us, the assurance. But he also wants us to understand our responsibility. We are here representing him on this earth. And if we can take that to heart, if we can walk in that, you will begin to understand the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
When you get to heaven, as you surely will, at the Savior's name you own. After you have greeted those you love the best who are standing round the throne, you may look for me, for I'll be there. When you stand in a rapture on some starry height, gazing on some glorious view, you may look for me, for I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to his name. When you hear songs of praise unto the Lamb, when you hear the ransom with their harps of gold shouting glory to his name, you may look for me, for I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. Glory to Kings, who has saved you by his grace. When you see the Savior who has brought you there, and with joy behold him.